America weekend.
It is the birthday of America, the 4th of July weekend. And this is Smith Sabatino, Roland Smith here, along with my good friend, Carl Sabatino. Carl.
Charlie Kuralt. We were talking moments ago about the Washington Monument. He, I also have a story about him in the plains of Iowa, but this particular story, as you know, he had his wonderful, I want to call it the travelogue broadcast. He was all over the country. And one Sunday morning, after a night of libations, and he enjoyed, God bless him, he got up to the Washington Monument, and he was standing at the very, very base. And a pigeon flew over and do what pigeons do.
What's that?
Blippity blop, as they say, on his shoulders. And he was they were taping a segment.
Mm-hmm.
And he waved the guy off, saying, "Leave it there. It's part of being at the Washington Monument, I guess." But he was so enamored with it. That actually, I believe he won an Emmy for that particular segment. I believe he did. I gotta check, but I think he did. It was his understanding and history of the Washington Monument itself, the entire history of how it got created, all the little anecdotal stories of the construction. Men died constructing this thing because their scaffolding didn't hold in one segment when they kept building it higher and higher, and it collapsed. But his emotion about it was wonderful. And he felt the story. You felt it with him, even with the bird pooping on his shoulder, he left there, by the way.
As you know, I worked with Charlie Kuralt.
Yes.
I knew him fairly well. I spent many, many years at CBS in New York. He was on the net side. I was on the local side.
Right.
But always truly a magnificent human being.
Oh, what a darling
man. You're right. He understood what it was like to be a human being.
Yes.
A common man.
Yes.
And that was wonderful.
And that was the reason why that pigeon poop had to stay.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. Well, we mentioned before that we have a phoner interview with, actually it's a pre-taped interview with Dan McCormick, former lieutenant, United States Army, served in Vietnam. He has his own business today called the McCormick Group. Basically what he does is help nonprofits become nonprofits. But anyway, he told me the story at one point as his first visit back for the first time after Vietnam, many, many years later, to a veterans hospital. And we just chatted for a while, and I turned the tape recorder on, and this is what we got.
What do you think you could attribute having a normal life, a successful life, after Vietnam, where some others did not?
Well, you know, again, my disclaimer, not being a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but in my case, I came back and I had a surround group. You know, I was married. I immediately went into grad school, and I had purpose on my mind. And also, I was a little older than you know, having gone through, already graduated from college and was an officer. I was older than the average soldier who went in as an enlisted man, maybe right out of high school, 18, 19, 20. And I had already had a couple of more years to kind of get out of some of that extension of puberty and maybe had a little different approach and a little different mindset about. Maybe my justification skills just innately were better at the time. You know, I mean, I came back and I said, okay, I went to war. I did what I was supposed to do. It's okay. I'm back. And I was going on with my life. It doesn't negatively impact me in my daily life. I'm just feel differently. I'm just more open about it than I was 6 months ago.
Did the psychiatrist or any of the other medical professionals at the VA center talk to you about what might happen not to you, but to the veterans that we deal with today coming from Afghanistan and Iraq, what might happen a few years down the line when some of their memories that have been suppressed start to come forth?
Well, there were some comments about that, and I've since been doing a fair amount of reading about it. And from what I've been able to deduce, and what the folks at VA actually told me was that one is it's clearly a product of kind of how long you are exposed. In other words, the longer you're exposed, and the more traumatic the circumstance, the more impactful it is in your lives. So, you know, if you went over the, so if you think about the buildup of wars, I believe I read somewhere that the average GI in World War II was exposed to the enemy, even though they might have been over there for years. They had direct enemy exposure for like 6, 10, 12 weeks or something, because it was a FEBA war, forward edge of the battle area, and we own the air superiority, the U.S. Forces, and we own the rear. So when you went back, you were safe. Well, Vietnam was not. Vietnam was a perimeter war, and no matter where you were exposed. So the Vietnam soldier had a year. If they did 2 years, two terms, they had 2 years. And now in Afghanistan, it's the same thing with IEDs, you know, the individual explosive devices, and no matter where you are not safe. Not fully, completely safe. And we're doing multiple and multiple and multiple tours of duty. People have gone 4 or 5 times to Afghanistan and been exposed in their minds for that length of time. Well, as that plays out, the opportunity for a more aggressive and a more advanced condition of PTSD is enhanced. It's multiples of possibilities of having that feeling. So the folks at VA said to me, one psychiatrist who shall remain nameless said, I would not be surprised if we had an epidemic in 20 years from the soldiers in Afghanistan.
If you could offer advice to any of the combat veterans that are now returning from our wars that we have currently, no matter where they are, what might that be?
Well, you know, you and I have actually had a couple of discussions over the years about this process, and because I've written about it, amazingly enough, for years. As you know, I write about it on Veterans Day. It's kind of my day to think about it. I think everybody experiences war differently. That's the first thing. I think you and I could have walked together side by side for a year in Vietnam and come back with a different story to tell. The second thing I believe is I think everybody experiences the residual differently as well. And so I'm not sure you could say to another person, here's what you need to do. I will say that for me, that, you know, I'm thankful that my dear friend encouraged me to talk to somebody about it. And then one day I just decided to do it, months after he had continued to encourage me. I would say that that only veterans and only people that have experienced it really know. And so you need to talk with people. If you're going to talk to somebody who knows and has and understands and experiences it. That's why I think, and I'm not necessarily trying to promote the Veterans Administration, but at least they're the guys that talk to everybody about it every day. So they know more about it than just walking in a shop somewhere. So my advice would be that when you're ready, you know, when you feel like, or if you feel the need, you probably do need to do it. I didn't feel any great need until, you know, within the last year or so. But when you're ready and you feel that need, don't hesitate to go. I mean, just stand up and go in. It's part of the act of getting home.
I'm talking with Dan McCormick, and I appreciate you joining us on Smith Sabatino. And I hope you come back again and we can talk about some of the other areas of interest and talents that you have, which I've known you for many years, and I can't wait to share with our audience. Thanks for being here, Dan.
Well, thank you, Roland, and thanks to the audience. And I appreciate the opportunity to even chat with you about this. And would love to come back, and don't worry, I won't tell any of the real stories about you.
Carl, it's all yours.
How about that? He is an interesting man, well thought out, very wise, I think, and his advice.
And his stories relate clearly to our heroes. those men and women who still struggle with it.
You know, I have blessed, to put I have to put you in that category, Carl. I mean, you served a term in Vietnam, and it was not an easy time. No. You were wounded, and you know, you still think about those experiences, sure. both the good as well as the not good.
And that's what Dan was saying in different words. It's the whole story, and when you put it in perspective. And he's right. If you need the help, go get the help.
And through the years as we do this program, I'd like to ask you several questions about your experiences in Vietnam and as well as elsewhere, because you have a wealth of them, and I'm looking forward to it.
My pleasure. You know that. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith as we carry on and continue on. Do stay with us. We're back.
A growing number of bikers are converting their softail Harleys into baggers. Owners considering making over their softail into a mini bagger will have plenty of company. Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
Offensive without a lot of funny. Feral and Harder, flaccid and get hard. Could use a little blue pill. I'm out.
6-second reviews are brought to you by summer's most unapologetic new comedy, Trainwreck, starring Amy Schumer, in theaters July 17th.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Harley-Davidson Softails have the counterbalanced twin cam engine, which many riders prefer in their bagger conversions. Leather saddlebags will be instantly recognizable, while those with a more expensive hard bag conversions are harder to tell apart, and cost varies widely on these bagger conversions. From $500 for a set of throw-over leathers all the way up to several large for paint and a quality set of hard bags. This summer, a lot of people are turning their Softails into mini baggers. American Biker Minute. Your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
It's time to go to bed, but you're wide awake. How can you shut down naturally?
Go prehistoric. Our ancestors went to bed when it got dark. What else could they do? But with modern lighting and electronics, we can stay up and not be bored.
That's great, unless it interferes with your sleep. A good night's rest is critical in today's fast-paced, mentally challenging work world.
So take a note from our ancestors. Research shows going dark about an hour before it's time to go to bed works wonders.
Ideally, you'll dim the lights, turn off the computer, and put your smartphone away.
If you just can't stand that thought, dim your screens and consume calming content.
Sleep like a cave dweller for your big success.
Find big success at biggsuccess.com.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
Offensive without a lot of funny. Feral and Harder, flaccid and get hard. Could use a little blue pill. I'm out.
6-second reviews are brought to you by summer's most unapologetic new comedy, Trainwreck, starring Amy Schumer, in theaters July 17th.